You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
The Chicago Bears should have a good group of cornerbacks available to pick from in the second round, many of whom come in with a pretty strong pedigree, but also some room for development and improvement before they'll really be at their best. Welcome into the Locked On Bears podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I cover the Chicago Bears for BearsWire. I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today we are looking at those cornerback prospects, not the guys at the top of the first round that won't be in the Bears' range, but a group of at least six or seven that could all sort of be in this 43rd and 50th overall pick type area. We'll see where exactly the Bears' needs lie and what sort of dynamics are at play with different guys having slightly different builds, slightly different skill sets that some teams might prioritize over others, and we'll look at who might be the best fit in this Bears defense to compete to start opposite of Kyle Fuller. It feels like we hear it every year, but this year's draft, once again, a very deep class at the cornerback position. But unlike the safety spot and others, there's a lot of strength at the top and then also a strong middle class immediately afterwards. So there's the guys that are definitely going to go in the first round that the Chicago Bears just wouldn't have an opportunity to draft without making a significant trade. Guys like Jeff Okuda from Ohio State, C.J. Henderson from Florida, or even Jeff Gladney from TCU, all sort of up in this range that very well expected to be off of the board before the Bears pick. But there's a nice group of players, a lot of guys coming from prominent programs with solid production over the last few seasons that should kind of all fall into the Bears' range. And when it comes to cornerbacks, particularly once you get into this part of the draft, it becomes a little bit more of a pick-your-flavor type of evaluation where all 32 teams might have a slightly different order for how they value these different cornerbacks. You know, some teams are looking for the length and the physicality at the cornerback spot, and they'll prioritize those things perhaps over elite speed or elite ball skills or some other traits that they might prefer in their outside cornerbacks. Or some guys might be looking for a guy that can bump inside to the slot if they need to, and they might not have as much of a need for an outside cornerback and might rate or value some of the other prospects that are bigger at that position that just don't fit exactly what they're looking for right now. So that's what makes cornerback, like wide receiver similarly, a hard position to project how teams will draft them because every team is going to view them quite a bit differently. Whereas there's a little bit less variety when you talk about the types of, say, offensive linemen or quarterbacks that teams are looking for, where everybody wants the best prospects there is. And there's some different variations in terms of skill sets, but there's not enough depth at positions like that to be too picky for the most part. You're still going to want to take the most talented guys, but scheme fit for these cornerbacks especially can be a wild card in all of this. And the one prospect who I think is a big wild card in this that has first-round talent and in theory won't be on the board when the Bears are on the clock, but if the non-football reasons start to really weigh heavily on teams' minds during this virtual draft that they're going to be conducting, Christian Fulton from LSU is just a name to watch here because of some of the red flags that could drop him, but the talent, again, among the best in the draft class. But he was banned, or initially it was a two-year ban from the NCAA that was reduced to a one-year suspension for attempting to kind of circumvent a drug test by submitting a sample from someone that was not him. But so he tested positive for marijuana, not performance-enhancing drugs, but still, you add that on top of a couple of season-ending injuries throughout his career, and you sort of start developing a list of red flags that might scare teams away. But, you know, so good in that LSU press man defense. You know, he just knows how to stay right up there with receivers, cover guys tight up and down the field, and smart, athletic ball skills. I mean, pretty much everything you're looking for at the cornerback position. And if he were to fall because of those red flags, sure would be enticing to add another LSU cornerback into this Bears secondary, but the talent should win out and should leave him in the first round. But that doesn't take away a significant group that would still last the second round. Guys like Trayvon Diggs from Alabama, A.J. Terrell from Clemson, Bryce Hall, Virginia, a lot of talented players here. And the Bears, as much as they addressed the position from a competition standpoint with Artie Burns coming over from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kevin Tolliver still returning from last season, and Trey Roberson coming over from the Canadian Football League, the Bears haven't invested a high draft pick at the cornerback spot since Kyle Fuller. We've seen late round picks in recent years, but it's about time that they really address that position, lock it in long term, and get somebody with a little bit more confidence than Artie Burns coming in as sort of a low risk, high reward prospect that is far from a sure thing, along with former undrafted free agent Kevin Tolliver. We'll break down who some of these top options are in the second round, including, you know, Trayvon Diggs, AJ Terrell, Jalen Johnson, and many more next on Locked On Bears. For whatever reason, this draft class seems to be full of guys coming from major programs, you know, particularly when you start looking in this Bears draft range, but even across the board. It's like Okuda from Ohio State, Damon Arnett from Ohio State, both of their starting cornerbacks. There's two Alabama cornerbacks in this group, Florida, Clemson, Auburn, Mississippi, Virginia, Utah, TCU. I mean, a lot of the powerhouse programs from college football, and not that you could just base your evaluation purely on the school that the player came from, but it sort of gives you at least a baseline understanding that these guys were in well-coached teams and were on some very high-quality defenses, which can tell you a couple different things. I mean, one can say that they had to have a lot of talent to be able to play on some of these defenses with a lot of other talent around them, but it's also, you know, the level of competition is going to be high. You know, the amount of coaching that they received in college is going to be better than it might have been at some smaller programs, but you also wonder how much some of these guys benefited from playing on really strong defenses around them and having really strong players to sort of support them. Obviously, they'll have some of that if they come to the Chicago Bears, but it's all just sort of different things that play into these evaluations. And certainly we've seen a recent track record of Ryan Pace liking defensive backs from Nick Saban's Alabama secondary, and a guy like Trayvon Diggs is a popular player in the draft community, a guy that I think there's some split opinions on, though, with how well he performed at Alabama. Somebody who's in a lot of first-round mock drafts, but I don't know if the tape fully backs that up. I mean, he is the brother of Stephon Diggs, interestingly enough. But, you know, he was trusted to be that outside cornerback in Nick Saban's defenses that run a lot of man coverage, and he was on his own quite a bit. But, you know, if you kind of compare him to recent years of Alabama defenses, it felt like Nick Saban had to go to more two-deep coverages and more safety help, presumably because of a less trust in a cornerback like Diggs than compared to other guys that he's worked in his scheme. And, you know, it's not to be a big shot at Diggs. It's not that he was a terrible player, but you just kind of see a little bit of some flaws in terms of discipline and technique. You know, I mean, he's getting better at it, and he's got, you know, the athletic tools that you want. Tall, he's got long body with strength and some quick movement in the lower body in terms of his feet and flipping his hips. I mean, he's a pretty smooth athlete, but sometimes the footwork can be a little bit lazy. So it's quick. It's just when he does move it and where he wants it to go. But sometimes he just, for whatever reason, doesn't quite get in and out of his breaks and come downhill on routes quite the way you would like him to. It's just sometimes he'll open his hips a little bit early, or sometimes he'll be a little bit late recognizing route combinations. I mean, it's just little things like that that kind of raise some minor red flags in Diggs's game, and why I think there's some pretty stark differing opinions on his projection to the next level. I mean, all that being said, you know, you got the size, the length, the speed, a lot of the physical tools that you like at the cornerback spot. So being able to plug him into Prince Amukamara's position in Chicago, you can sort of see why that would be enticing for the Bears, especially if, you know, you have Tolliver and Burns for a competition. If you feel like Diggs could use a little bit more of development and could clean up a few things, he doesn't necessarily have to start in year one, but, you know, again, being able to sort of add that high ceiling at that position that's just a little bit higher than anything the Bears have really been able to add up to this point. Diggs has some similarities to a guy like A.J. Terrell from Clemson. Similar, you know, 6'1". He's got the length. He's got some decent size and some decent strength to be able to handle physical receivers down the field. But like Diggs, Terrell has some mechanical issues, particularly, you know, lower body. Again, hip and feet. Is he maximizing his movements? There's some real stiffness in there, and he seems like a guy that at times could be beaten by the better route runners. And of course, really good route runners are going to have success against cornerbacks, but it just seems like if you're looking for an area that Terrell can clean up, it's just being a little bit smarter and smoother in how he really uses his body and drilling that movement. Because, you know, I think we see aggression at the catch point and being physical. You know, it's not just ball skills, but it's really being knowing how to contest a catch and be physical in that way. And, you know, he uses the length. And it sounds like from everything I've heard off the field, you know, a fierce competitor type guy, somebody who really leads the team and is an example of how to watch. And I don't think he had really any injury concerns, unlike even Diggs had, I believe, a season-ending injury or two throughout his career. So, I mean, there's a lot to like about Terrell similarly, but again, can you get a bigger corner like that to clean up, or is he physical enough that you can live with those sort of things? But again, I think you see sort of the translation with Prince Amukamara's role in this Bears defense being up, being a little bit more physical up on the line of scrimmage. And it's not always press man-to-man coverage. Sometimes you're bailing off the line of scrimmage, but at least being able to absorb some of that space and handle receivers up from their release and be able to stick with them down the field. I think Terrell is a guy that could fit that type of a role in Chicago while he sort of adjusts to, you know, movement skills a little bit more fluid. I mean, he's just sort of a little bit more of an average athlete all around, but, you know, I'll take that length any day. Now, on the other side of the spectrum is somebody like Jalen Johnson Jr. from Utah. Not quite the length. I mean, still just a hair under 6 feet tall, but, you know, an average build for a cornerback, but just smooth athletically. You know, the feet are quick. There's not wasted movement in that regard. His hips can turn and flip and run and change direction about as easily and silky as any cornerback in this draft. And, you know, again, the ball skills to go up and make plays when it's in the air, and a guy with a lot of returnability as well, really kind of has a natural feel with the ball in his hands. But it's not quite all there in terms of the instincts and anticipation, you know, knowing how to trust his eyes and understanding what wide receivers and opposing quarterbacks are trying to do against him. You know, as a result, sometimes he can get a little bit grabby and you know, over physical in that regard, because he gets aggressive and goes after something and isn't necessarily guessing correctly. The key word there, guessing, rather than truly knowing what his opponents are trying to do to him. And some of that is just him being very aggressive that works well for him, but at times over aggressive can be a little bit of a problem there. But even I think the biggest red flag with Jalen Johnson is from an injury standpoint, a medical. He's had a number of surgeries on his shoulder. I believe it started in when he was in high school, and then another one in 2017, and then another one after the combine from that he had suffered earlier during this last season in college. So there's going to be some red flags there from I believe it was the labrum and how durable that's going to be long term. And given the virtual and remote capabilities with the draft, you wonder if teams' doctors have been able to get quite the work done on Jalen Johnson that they want. It wouldn't surprise me if he was a guy that slid into the third round as a result, or even later. But I think from a talent standpoint, he's definitely a second round guy. And if you took the health completely out of it, he's a guy that I think would be a fun athlete to have in this Bears defense. I think he could really be sort of a smooth player. I mean, man, zone, off press. I think he can do a little bit of everything, and I think the Bears coaches can kind of work through some of the mental side of the game with him and try and get that a little bit better, and again have some protection with Eddie Jackson at safety. That always helps, having some help from your friends on the back end. That's true for all of these cornerbacks potentially in that second round range for the Bears, and it really is a healthy list, because there's even more guys we still need to get to, like Damon Arnette from Ohio State, Noah Igbinogheni from Auburn, and even Camlin Dantzler from Mississippi. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. If Ryan Pace wants to add another difficult to pronounce name to his defense, and perhaps another potential Iggy that would make it difficult to differentiate with Joel Igbunwe. How about we go from Joel Igbunwe to Noah Igbinoghene, I believe is how you pronounce the Auburn cornerback's name. It's a Nigerian background. His parents, I think, were both like SEC-level track athletes. He certainly has a pretty strong physical pedigree, but Igbinoghene, I believe, is how you pronounce it. There's too many letters in there, and it looks like an Igbinoghene, but Igbinoghene is how I've been told to pronounce that last name, and it would be a fun one to have to learn in Chicago. I think there's some similarities to some of the things we were talking about with Jalen Johnson in terms of athletic tools winning versus mental processing and understanding opposing offenses still needing to be the bigger work in progress. And he's only 5'10", so you know, not quite the same size that a guy like Jalen Johnson has, but he does seem to have longer arms for his height. So there's some length there that isn't necessarily fully represented in his listed height, but he's physical, he's tough, he's a good tackler, he's also a kickoff return guy, started his career at wide receiver for Auburn, so he's still learning, I think, a little bit when it comes to the cornerback position. He didn't really play defense in high school either, but transitioned to that cornerback spot and is able to use that track background and that play speed. You know, there's some, it's maybe not quite as smooth like Johnson in terms of, you know, the hips and the feet. It's not stiff, but it's just not like elite fluidity at that point. But a guy that can get a little bit mixed up in terms of trying to guess what opposing offenses are trying to do to him and, you know, mistime things here and there and sometimes draw some flags as a result in terms of going after the ball, but also just making physical contact with the receiver on the top of his break, you know, trying to grab on. There's defensive holding, there's pass interference sort of sprinkled in throughout his tape, and it's just, you wonder how far along he is in terms of route recognition and really being able to find the football in the air. But, you know, he can get physical at the catch point when he knows that it's coming, but sometimes, again, getting that side of the processing up to speed. So there's a little bit more of a raw athlete type for somebody like Igbinoghene. I keep working on that name, and it's never quite smooth yet. But we're looking at a little bit more of a raw prospect. He could be drifting a little bit more into the later second, third round range. But you know, if the Bears were still able to come away with him at 50, I wouldn't hate it there. I think the physical tools are there, and I think inexperience might be just a big part of his lack of development. And of course, that's something that can happen with more experience in Chicago. And again, like some of these other guys, not imperative that they start in year one, but it would be good to get a prospect that has that ability built in to trust them to start in year one if Tolliver and Burns aren't quite as productive as you'd like. Now, if the Bears want to prioritize length opposite Fuller in terms of, you know, Fuller's not the biggest cornerback in the world. He's not tiny, but he's not quite that elite size to combat bigger receivers. If the Bears want to balance that out a little bit more, don't be surprised if a guy like Cameron Dantzler from Mississippi State, he could interest them there in the second round. He's a guy that could linger a little bit longer, just depending on the flavor of cornerback that each team likes. But here's a 6'2" and 188-pound long specimen of a body. I mean, and when you hear 188 pounds at 6'2", that brings up some concerns in terms of his strength and his weight, because that's sort of the dynamic here, right? He's long and can be physical in press coverage, and he's not afraid to contest the catch point, but you know, bigger receivers can win up in the when the ball is in the air, and sometimes as a result, Dantzler, because he knows he can get bodied a little bit, he gets a little grabby with his hands, and he's trying to sort of keep himself in there and just can be pushed off of his spot a little bit. And similar issue, troubles with tackling bigger bodies because he just doesn't quite have the weight and the strength behind it when he tries to throw himself to bring somebody down. So that's sort of the concern with somebody like Dantzler, but he's got enough speed to go with that size to be able to stay with receivers downfield. He's got the smarts in terms of, you know, being able to read quarterbacks when he's in zone, being able to anticipate how receivers are going to run their routes when he's in man-to-man coverage. And he can use that length, even though there's not a lot of strength behind it. He can be disruptive in terms of getting his hands in front of the eyes of the receiver or getting his hands in between the arms of the receivers to try and break things up that way, but not necessarily a ton of interceptions, turnovers, ball skills in that same regard. It's still a little bit of a work in progress. You know, it's... And some of that can come with, you know, more development, but some of it's going to be limited from that lack of strength in really getting up there and winning those contested catch situations. So, like, he's got enough speed, he's got a good build in terms of that length, and he's a good competitor, and he can be physical. It's just a question of will he be strong enough to really hold up long term in the NFL? I think he's got enough. It's just there are going to be limitations with that, but I think they are limitations that you can live with, and that's sort of why he's more of a second round guy. Whereas if he had a little bit more of that strength, that girth, that thickness to his build, he might be even higher up into that first round discussion. The last guy I want to get to is a little bit of a late bloomer and a little bit in the shadows at Ohio State because, of course, he was college teammates with Jeff Okuda, who's largely expected to be a top five pick in this upcoming draft. But his teammate, Damon Arnett, was an important starter in that Ohio State secondary as well, and somebody who supposedly seemed to turn a little bit of a corner for his senior season. And now he's going to turn 24 in September. So we're talking about a little bit of an older rookie when he gets into the NFL. But there were some, I think, maturity question marks earlier in his career at Ohio State. I mean, he was a starter for three seasons, but in those first two seasons, at times, he could just be a little bit, I guess, erratic, and sometimes, you know, that would also lead to penalties in terms of pass interferences and holdings and sort of just he could get emotional on the field as well and retaliate a little bit when opposing receivers would get into his head. But his teammates and coaches kind of talked about him changing quite a bit going into his senior year and having a different senior season than we had seen from him through those first couple of years at Ohio State. And so assuming some of that maturation has occurred, you know, there's a lot to like there with Arnett. I mean, one of the best run defenders at cornerback in this class, not at all afraid of taking on blocks, stepping up, getting dirty a little bit, and delivering big hits and making sure he's bringing his guy down. You know, it's not only the big hits, but it's filling the lane, it's having proper contain, it's doing his job, even if that just sets somebody else up to make the tackle instead of him. He's perfectly okay doing something like that. So a guy that you like working underneath in that regard, you know, you can trust him in the running game. And you know, he's quick. He's got good acceleration, good foot, good feet. They're quick. He's pretty smooth. He's able to do a lot of those things. You know, not a track athlete in terms of straight line speed, but not slow either. He just, you know, he's got pretty much all the athletic traits that you'd like from a speed standpoint. And he's, you know, 5'11 and a half or so. So, you know, that sort of that Kyle Fuller type build, but just some inconsistency, not a lot of ball skills in terms of, you know, turnovers. He just doesn't seem to know exactly how to get up and pick off that ball in terms of the right timing and turning his head around and finding the ball in the air, and can sometimes be a little bit late in reading that timing all the way through. But you like the toughness, and you like a guy who's just going to put his nose down and seems to do whatever it's going to take, and that speaks to some of that maturity process as well. And I think that physicality will endear him to a lot of teams, and I think you could see him as a fit in this Bears defense, as somebody that can come in, work hard, be physical, and I think the Bears players would respect that and would really welcome that into this locker room, especially seeing as the maturity seems to be developing. You know, Ohio State trusted him a lot in one-on-one, on an island, man coverage on the outside, and for the most part, he could do that. And I guess there's some similarities to Prince Mukamara in that regard in terms of not having the ball skills and the catch point. So, you could see some natural fit there in Chicago that, you know, a one-on-one, man-to-man cornerback, not quite as physical, I don't think, as Prince Mukamara, but I think you can do a lot worse at cornerback in the second round. And coming out of that Ohio State defense, he had to beat out a lot of other guys to be that starter for three seasons. And assuming he's made some of that progress, I think he could be just a solid fit in the second round. Just a guy that maybe the elite ceiling isn't quite there, but if you just want a consistent every down starter, and again, kind of in the mold of Prince Amukamara in terms of role, not exact skill set, I think he could be your guy. So like I said, there's just some different styles of cornerback. You know, a couple of guys that are a little bit more raw in their in terms of their technique, but have great physical tools. Some guys that are technically sound and smart, but just are never going to be quite elite athletes. And some really long, rangy type players, and some smaller, quick twitch type cornerbacks. There's really a little bit of everything, and we don't really have a great sense so far what Ryan Pace prefers in his cornerbacks, because it's pretty much just been the Fuller Amukamara show for most of his time here in Chicago, and we certainly haven't seen a lot of draft picks invested there. So it'll be interesting to see when and if the Bears do take one in this draft. I think they do see Artie Burns as a much more sure solution, at least in that cornerback competition, whereas I think the safety spot, you know, like we talked about on yesterday's podcast, is a little bit more of a signal that a safety pick should be coming. And I would expect, given the cornerback depth here, that the Bears may take one anyway, but whether or not it's going to be in the second round, there are a lot of names as you move on to like the fifth and sixth and seventh round picks that the Bears will still have to at least take another young player and have another developmental prospect in there, just to kind of keep the pipeline flowing in the secondary. Because, of course, in the second round, you're talking about offensive linemen, and we're going to have to get to some of those here in the coming days, and we'll still talk more quarterback prospects, more specifically even after the second round, in the near future as well. So make sure that you are subscribed to the Locked On Bears podcast to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. We'd also really appreciate it if you just tell one friend, one fellow Chicago Bears fan, about this podcast, how it's helping you get through these strange and historic times that we're all living in. I really appreciate everyone who's been tuning in, and I hope it's provided a little bit of an escape and a little bit of a release and a little bit of a trip back to football. And perhaps most importantly, a little opportunity to bear down.